Shall we give Don a round of applause to welcome him? Hooray! I'm going to quickly pray for you, and then I'm going to let you plow in. Father, bless Don in everything that he has prepared and everything that he's brought to us this afternoon. We open our hearts now to hear from you and to receive from your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. I was a little bit nervous about today. I am a little bit nervous about today because I rang Daniel during the week and I said, this is what I've got planned. And you know when there's a little pause before he says, that sounds great. You think, oh, okay, well, I'm a bit worried about this. Because I wanted to do something a bit different. I'm going to do something a bit different. And I would love you to come with me and get involved with that. Click the get involved button. There are opt-outs, by the way, if this isn't for you, some of the things I'm going to ask you to do. I've set that up well now, haven't I? Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the book of Matthew and been working our way through this. And we've seen that the book of Matthew invites us with two super exciting invitations. And we've been sort of alternating each week between looking at two bits of that. The first of those is to think about if joining a placarded revolution. And if you were here a few weeks ago, you might have been part of that group which Daniel set out over there, waving some placards and being part of a Jesus revolution. And the second, which was illustrated over here with the use of a long table, was an invitation to Jesus to be part of Jesus's true family. And the illustration there was joining a family for dinner. And it's that invitation that we're going to be focusing on for today. That's the focus. That invitation is an invitation that asks you to turn towards Jesus, to turn away from an old way, your old life and old ways of doing, and turn towards him to become more like him and want to do his will. And that's what I'm going to invite you to do, or maybe re-invite you to do, if that's something that you think I'm already there. So what we're going to do in a few ways is to talk about this concept of a family and how there are elements of that which are probably quite familiar to us and quite comfortable with us, and that's okay. But also that Jesus's calling to be part of his true family is perhaps a little bit different from just the bloodline family concept that we might be most familiar with. It's not that common to be invited into a family, unless somebody has asked you to marry them. That's like being invited into a family. But for most of our experiences, or most of our family, is constituted by the matter of birth. We're born into a family. And I appreciate, for many people, that's a really positive thing, and the word family is really is great, and it fills you with lots of warm thoughts. But I appreciate also that that's not the case for everybody. And if there are particular tensions in your family, or perhaps family is not a wonderfully happy word for you, then I want to encourage you today that the invitation we're going to talk about is the most brilliant, the most fantastic, the most inclusive, the most wonderful invitation there has ever been. And this is for everybody. This is for you if you're sat here today. Nonetheless, even if we accept this invitation that we're going to talk about, it doesn't mean it's necessarily always going to be a super easy or a comfortable place to be. And we're going to talk about those couple of elements that we'll get to, but we're going to start on the very positive conceptions of what it is to be a family. And you're going to be doing quite a lot of talking today. I've got a little activity that you've probably spotted already. We're coming to that, but I've got to warm you up first. So what we're going to do with this is I'm going to ask you to share an experience with just those around you. Now, at home, I live with my wonderful family, Cheryl and Theo and Rosanna, and that's a really comfortable place for me to be. The next most comfortable place for me to be is to return home, to my family home, where I grew up in Suffolk, and particularly to sit with my father and to watch Match of the Day on a Saturday evening after everybody else has gone to bed. And we'll just sit and we'll watch, and we might exchange the odd word, but we probably don't talk too much. But I think we both enjoy the sense of calm and peace. Just watching the football, it's not particularly important, but we enjoy spending that time together. And certainly I think, and I think my dad does as well, finds that a really lovely thing to do together. We can just share some time and enjoy. And I would love you now just to think about something which I'd love it to be slightly away from the place where you live, or perhaps the people that you live with on a day-to-day basis, and to think, where else do you feel really super comfortable? Where else can you go that you can find a real sense of peace and comfort and just feel totally at ease. Please just turn to those around you and share a story for just a couple of minutes of the places where you feel really comfortable and happy. Who with and what's the setting? And just share those stories with each other. You've got 2 minutes. Go. It is wonderful to have places where you can feel welcome, feel comfortable, feel valued, have a sense of belonging and purpose. And it's certainly those things that we hope that people find as they experience GVC, the GVC families, where we're striving to create communities which bring hope and joy to Gloucestershire. Now, those things are really positive aspects of family life, and we know those things are great. But we also know that families are not always really harmonious. I love my brother-in-law, Chris, Sir Cheryl's brother. He's great fun to be around. He's really easygoing. He's a great uncle to Theo and Rosanna. He's always up for a game, always up for a laugh. This is family. So my brother-in-law, Chris, he's great. I love him to bits. But if you speak to Cheryl and Chris about their life growing up, especially in their teenage years, and I encourage you to do so afterwards over tea and toast, the experiences that they share are like outright war from about the ages of 13 to 16. It sounds like a really combustuous relationship. They love each other now, but there are times when it was really difficult and really tense. Families can be difficult. Siblings aren't always on your side. And I want you to keep that in mind as we read today's passage, and we'll turn to a few things that we'll try and bring out of this. Today's passage is about Jesus' call, his invitation to be part of his true family. And it's from Matthew 12, and it's verses 46 to 50, which I'll read to you, but I think it's going to come up on the screen as well. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." He replied to him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Now, the historical context of this passage is super important for us to understand. Way back in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis, we learned that God said to a man called Abraham that his family were to be the chosen family of God, that they would be favored by him throughout time, and that they had a special place in his heart. And so the Jewish nation was born. And ever since that time, Jewish people, quite rightly, have known that they are God's chosen people. Indeed, Jesus was part of this Jewish family. And as we heard a few weeks ago, at the beginning of this book of Matthew, the writer, Matthew, goes to great lengths to demonstrate to the reader Jesus' Jewish lineage. Unfortunately, some Jews felt that their membership of the Jewish family for them implied something more automatically, an almost automatic place to be part of God's true family. Jesus' teaching in this passage kind of blows that theory out of the water. There is but one point of qualification to be part of Jesus' true family in this passage, which he gives in verse 50. He says, "Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." This was cultural dynamite then, and it should be cultural dynamite now. Jesus' invitation to be part of his true family, makes no reference to bloodlines or past mistakes or maybe future mistakes, your status, your qualifications. None of that matters to Jesus. His only concern and his invitation is that you do the will of his Father in heaven. And we're going to talk about what that means. That doesn't mean that what we do or who we are or who we love doesn't matter. Far from it. But whatever we do, are, or love, they're hugely valuable to Jesus and valued by him. But it is your intent to do the will of God that qualifies you for Jesus' true family. At this stage, I want to introduce you to a picture that was presented to us at a previous church that I attended when we used to live in Worcester. It was presented as a challenge to us by the pastor of that church at the time. And I don't think he'd mind me saying that it was presented as a criticism in some ways of what we'd become as a church, which he likened to being a bit like a luxury cruise liner. And I appreciate this might not be an original model. I think I've heard it in other places. But he called us to be and to think about ourselves as a church much more as a lifeboat. And I'm going to bring that illustration to you today. A lifeboat is not a particularly comfortable thing to be on. But everybody in the lifeboat, every member of the crew, has a really purposeful place and a really purposeful role on that boat. They all require different skills and experiences and to work together in order to make it a really effective lifeboat and a life-saving machine. There are no passengers. Everyone is involved. Everyone is really important. And the job, essentially, is to enable the lifeboat to get out there and rescue people and to protect them from storms that are raging around them. To be an effective lifeboat crew, to be an effective GVC lifeboat service, we've got to be a great team. We've got to understand how valuable everybody is and what people bring to this crew and to this service. We'd love you to be a part of the GVC lifeboat service. And in order to be recruited for that, if you're the invitation here from Jesus, if you are seeking to do the will of God, you've turned towards him and you're walking towards him, then you're in, you're recruited. There's nothing else that you need to do. Nonetheless, in order to be the most effective lifeboat crew we can be, we do need to establish what people bring to the party and what you can contribute and what is why you're here. You've all got a role and everybody is important. So, we're going to try and illustrate this through this little game that I'm going to ask you to play. I've recruited four lifeboat captains who are going to man the stalls. There are four stations, essentially, that I'm going to ask you to travel around. Now, on those stations, there is a list of skills, abilities, experiences, things you love, things that you've done in your life or live, where you've lived in your life, things like that. And the idea is that you travel around those stations, and I want you to write your name next to the ones where you would score the most points. For example, one of them says, I can't remember where it is, if you've given birth, then you get 20 points per child. Okay? So you could write your name against that if you've given birth and just indicate to that lifeboat captain how many points you would score. There's another one that says, can recite the lyrics of Taylor Swift songs. Or there's another one that says you're a particular fan of Julia Donaldson books. And what I'm going to ask you to do is travel around those stations and just write your name against the ones that apply particularly to you, that you'd score lots of points for. If there are things like the Julia Donaldson thing, where it says you score 5 points per book you can name, you don't have to prove to the lifeboat captain that you can name 20 Julia Donaldson books. You can just give a rough estimate and we'll accept that. That's absolutely fine. Similarly, if it says points for having lived in another country, that's another one. You don't have to explain all of those. Just say how many you've lived and score the points necessarily. Now, after a little bit of time, the lifeboat captains are then going to try and recruit to their crew. Okay, so they're going to see who's going to score them the most points, and they'll invite you to come and be part of their crew, and they'll ask you to come and sit in their lifeboat, which are these little stations to the side, and then I've got another task for you to do. Now, if that seems way out of your comfort zone, or, frankly, it seems a bit naff and you don't want to be part of that, that's totally fine. You can either stay where you are, or Daniel is going to lead a conscientious objectors group, which I suggest might form perhaps at the back there. Daniel will find a place in case you think, oh, I can't be doing with that. But if you enjoy silly games, then I'd really love you to be a part of it. The lifeboat captains are Aaron and Terrell and Ben. And Steve. Thank you, Steve. So these guys will also be able to help you in terms of scoring your points. Has any? Right, to my lifeboat captains, you can start to recruit your crew. If you've got high-scoring people, then get them to sit down in your boat and keep them in your crew. Don't let them wander off anywhere else. Right, start to find your lifeboat station. Decide where you're going to be. Lifeboat captains, recruit your team. The broader purpose, obviously, of this activity. A, is hopefully that you've learned some things about other people that you didn't know before, and you can chat about those at your leisure. But for now, I've got one particular question that I'd like you to discuss within your lifeboats. I need somebody to take a couple of notes for your group so you can take down your point sheet or just flip over your flip chart to a new piece, whatever you like. But somebody please take some notes. And your lifeboat captains have been briefed with these questions. And what I'm going to ask you to talk about is, what are some of the strengths of the GVC family that we can, that you have seen and that you have experienced, that demonstrate how we're trying to be a really positive part of Jesus's true family? That's the first part of the question. And if we get to the second, then your lifeboat captains will take you on to the second part of the question. Okay? So this is for your small groups. You can jump into those straight away. We're going to go for at least 6 minutes on this first question, and we'll see where we get to. Lifeboat captains, it's over to you. Take it away. Okay, we're going to start to bring our conversations to a close, and then I'm going to bring the mic round to each group. So if somebody could volunteer in each group, doesn't have to be the captain, it could be, but it doesn't have to be, to give us 30 seconds of feedback per group, 30 seconds maximum of your top points. That would be really helpful. I'm going to come over to this lifeboat first. Yes, they did, yes. Who's going to talk?
Okay, our responses to people experiencing the experience of GVC as a church community, which reflects Jesus' true family. There's a whole bunch of things. The page is full. Reaching into the community, including people, welcoming, friendly, accepting people as they are, fun. Some people don't think maybe Jesus was fun. I think he was fun. So, you know, here we do fun games. Hospitable, and by that we mean we have food. Jesus was real into food and eating with friends and stuff. Encouraging the faith of children. Jesus did that. Informal, expectant of God's help, expectant of the Holy Spirit here. We used the phrase no hiding, but by that we meant all can join in, and we're glad for people to join in.
Hey, amazing. Little round of applause. That was great, wasn't it? Great start. Thank you.
I feel like I should face the room. We also put crumpets, which I think we meant hospitality and food and stuff, same as you, but we just wrote crumpets. We thought there was quite a diverse mix in the church and that we embrace difference and that we're welcoming, non-judgmental. People said about inclusive worship and people were very joiny-inny with the worship here, and it was really good. We talked about accessible sermons and things not being too highbrow. You're not very highbrow. Well done. But we thought that was a good thing. And we talked about the whole, like these guys, the whole thing is not too serious, and therefore it's quite welcoming and inclusive. We also talked about it being a really integrated and holistic approach to church. It wasn't just like there's a church service, and then on a different day of the week there might be a meal, or it was all kind of, this is church, and stuff over there is church, and gardening is church, and all of that sort of stuff. So quite an integrated approach to church, and that we were involved in the community and outward looking outside of the church. And that's what our group thought was great.
Thank you. Two to go. Brilliant so far. Thank you.
In the interest of time, we won't repeat everything that everyone else has said already. So the kind of vaguely unique bit was that focus on everyone serving and like serving others. So that kind of servant hearted, although Aaron's saying that your group said that, so sorry.
Thank you, Steve. Good. A little ripple. Thank you. Last one.
Yeah, so I think in a lot of ways we echoed that flexibility to welcome others and that sense of the Super Sunday that makes us unique, of going out instead of just staying here, home groups. I guess the one that probably hadn't been mentioned is integrity, that you can just be honest about who you are, where you're at, come in, and that's part of that. And food, and just the goodwill to help others. So, yeah.
Thank you. thank you for engaging with my little lifeboat analogy and for discussing those elements. I think there was a great deal of commonality, wasn't there, between those elements, and that sense of community, and I think some real positive aspects of the family were really in evidence there. So thank you for that. For many of you, you already call GVC home. You're part of the lifeboat crew, and that's fantastic, and you are so valued and so welcome. If you know you haven't accepted Jesus yet, that invitation to be part of his true family, then you could do that today or now. We will have people with lanyards who would love to pray with you right now, or maybe after Daniel has wrapped up, you could come and find one of them. They'll be at the front and just to the sides, and they would love to pray with you. If you are willing to do the will of God, if you're ready to accept Jesus as the King, and you're ready to turn your life towards him and keep traveling in that direction, to have done that turnaround and to be seeking to be more like him and to get to know him better, then they'd love to pray that through with you. So I'm going to ask Daniel to come back up and to draw us together as we head towards time.